Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Inquisitor. Dun, dun, dun. No one expects an Inquisition.
The Inquisitor.
And we are sitting here today. I'm trying to do my
announcer. That was Monty Python, dude.
Oh.
Come on.
Whoops. Over the head.
You don't have any coconuts.
Well, I'm talking about the TV show.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Uh-huh. I always remember the coconuts and the horse sounds.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, fuck you, too. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm awesome.
Still been polar bearing this week?
I was polar bearing.
Did anybody touch your polar bear this week?
Someone grabbed me on the butt. And I think they thought it was a stuffed bear because this lady afterwards, she's like, I thought you were a stuffed bear. So she's probably just looking for something to grab onto, and so I felt a little squeeze on the cheek. This black woman, and I was like,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah.
Of all the joy.
Yeah, Matt's getting molested.
In a polar bear costume.
Yeah,
I was pretty cuddly looking, So I don't blame them.
Tis the season.
We are
just under 2 weeks till Christmas.
Yeah.
So, about a week away from the Star Wars film.
This is hell.
The end of a decade, too.
This is hell for all three of us, as far as work.
Yeah, but at the same time, I am so fucking glad 2019's coming to an end. This has been an absolutely shitty fucking year. So bring on 2020, hopefully, and some new beginnings. But we have to finish out the year first. We are going to have some top 10 of the decade type list over the next couple of weeks. And as we get ready to bring in 2020. Should be fun. It should be real. It should be really real.
Really real.
For real, real.
For real.
Yeah, for Rizzle.
Not for play, play.
And then get ready for our 100th film in mid-January.
Howard the Duck.
Fuck no.
I saw that in a $5 bin.
I liked that movie as a kid.
And now you watch it, you're like, God, this is bad.
There's
some
porn.
Movies I like as a kid that I still like The Monster Squad, which we did, and you weren't as big of fans. But there's some that you watched as a kid, you watch now, you realize like they're really, really bad. And Howard the Duck is one of them. It's just not very good. But not everything can hold up well. I don't know. I'm sure we all have those.
Yeah.
Matt Stoll thinks The Last Action Hero is prime cinema.
It is. It's prime cinema.
To poop on. No.
To poop on. What? Just kidding. I showed it to my cousins who had never seen Last Action Hero before, and they were just like busting out laughing at Hamlet, which is what you're supposed to do. It's like freaking awesome and hilarious. To be, not to be. And then he just takes a skull and throws it at this guy and knocks him out.
They took that soundbite from To Be or Not to Be line.
Yeah.
Into an XCOM mod.
Oh, where nice.
You could create Arnold Schwarzenegger whenever he kills an alien.
Yeah.
He says that line.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely some comedy. Arnold is definitely his own style of comedy. And it doesn't work with everybody. I think it works with Arnold.
I'm down for Jingle All the Way. That's comedy. I like that.
But not Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, no. Just give me the Jake Lloyd and Phil Hartman.
Is that on Netflix?
Nah, it was at a time. I don't know if it is now.
Jingle All the Way 2 is on Prime.
I don't care about Jingle All the Way.
I know. I don't either.
Was that station Freeform? Oh, you don't have regular. Well, you have YouTube TV.
Freeform.
Freeform plays a motherfucker all the time.
What, Jingle All the Way?
Yeah. They constantly run in Christmas movies during this month.
Yeah.
Them and AMC, Jingle All the Way, Christmas Vacation, all Home Alone, all that stuff. So,
Christmas Vacation has my favorite, all-time favorite Christmas song.
That's my favorite Christmas movie. I can watch it all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a bit nipply in here.
Bit nipply.
Yeah.
It's good.
That turkey that's so dried up.
Yeah. Give me the neck, Clark.
And they're just sucking on bone.
That movie. Y'all say I don't like comedies, but I can watch that every year. I still laugh at it. That movie's.
I think we all relate to it. We've all got that one uncle that's just goofy as hell.
I think that's what it is. Or if you've ever gotten your own tree, finding the right tree, doing the lights on the house, or just something you pick up on in that movie.
Or the road rage.
Yeah. You know. And
you want to be behind a guy that drives like that? Sometimes I feel that way.
We were talking about Juliette Lewis before the show. Speaking of, she was in Christmas Vacation, of course, as the daughter.
Yes.
So that's pretty funny. I have not watched it yet this season, though. I will. I always watch it at least once a year.
Yep.
Sometimes in July, you know, if I feel like it.
Yep.
So. Got some news for that in our news section.
Oh, you do.
I do.
But on that note, though, before we get started, make sure you go to therebelradiopodcast.com. Hit that little button that says Patreon. We need some more Patreons. But we appreciate the three we have, and we will have something coming to you very soon. I know I say that every week like a broken record, but it's going to happen. And in January, the exclusive monthly episode officially starts. But y'all might get a little dime drop to you soon. It'll not a funny. Dime bag.
You'll be plugging Patreon and Comic Palooza.
That's right.
Yes.
Comic Palooza is right around the corner. Got a notification the other day. First meeting is going to be coming up here really soon.
That's awesome.
And we shall be there.
In spirit.
Well, no, we'll be there. If Worms is there only in spirit, something wrong happened. Yes. And that's not good.
Something happened with our charter.
Yeah. So no, I plan on being there. So that should be fun. It's always a good time. It really is. Despite the audio quality of last year's show, I still had a good time.
The curse continued last year.
Yes. One of our big... Well, it's and this is the every other year. So we'll have good audio this year.
Yeah. This is a good year.
Yeah. It'll be a good year.
Leap year.
That's right. Yeah. We'll come up with a cool movie to talk about and have a good time out there in Memorial Day weekend. See, now you made me plug it. Memorial Day weekend at George R. Brown, Compalooza 2020. Fuck, man. 2020.
2020.
It's like the future and shit, dude. Back to the Future already happened. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, 2015.
That's crazy. Yeah. Blade Runner already happened. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dude, all these movies that were the future, we were kids, are now the past.
The future's now.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But where the hell's my flying car, goddammit? Not that. You know what I think about that?
We got
that,
the pollution.
Though? True.
There you go.
I think about that, though. I don't like to fly anyway, so why would I want to be in a flying car, you know? Just keep me on the ground.
We got the pollution, and now we have corporate overlords, pretty much.
Corporate overlords. Like Walmart. Walmart's going to buy out our debt, and then Walmart will own us. Well, they will own the United States. I'm going to call it right now.
Nah, Disney's going to buy everything, and we're going to be known as, instead of Earth, Disney World.
Yeah. That is more. You know what? I'm sold. Where can I buy some stocks for this Disney World?
This isn't major news. We'll talk later, but you know, did you see where the bond, we did The Spy Loved Me last week. You know, the bond rights have been kind of floating around for several years
between
MGM and different studios, and someone always grabs them to do distribution of the latest film, and that Bob Iger would really be interested in buying Bond and bringing it to Disney, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, since you can't seem to get any studio to hold on to Bond and do it right, and that's been part of Daniel Craig's problem. It's not that he hasn't wanted to do the film. He's got caught up in that going back and forth with studios, too, because no one has really consistently owned Bond over the years.
Yeah.
And, if Disney could buy Bond, I think it would help the future of the franchise.
You'd get more stability, for sure.
Definitely. You get a film every couple of years or every 3 years instead of staggering them like we've gotten over the last 20 years. So, yeah.
Well, personally, I'm over, Craig.
Never say never again, sir.
Yeah, I'm over, personally.
I like it. But I'm looking forward to
Past die, Matt. No.
Diamonds are forever long.
I hate that movie so much.
I can't just live and let die.
It's one of the worst.
Okay.
That's great.
If you don't stop, I'm going to put your gold finger.
I get your pun.
In your ear.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Don't be such an octopus.
That's why I didn't bring alcohol this week.
On that note.
Got tired of you rolling your eyes at me last.
Well, I brought this whiskey from Russia with love.
Is he rolling his eyes or undressing you with his eyes?
Rolling.
Oh, okay.
Why can't it be both?
Whatever.
It's all good. Right. And, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
And
again.
Every week of the show, we tell you what we download, streamed, watched, checked out this week. Video games we might have played on download this segment of the show. And I'm going to go fucking first today.
There you go. You go first. Go for it.
Man, I finished The Irishman. That's a fucking movie.
Yeah. Okay?
And if we do our top 10 of the decade list, I guarantee it's probably going to be on there because that's a movie. It is engaging from beginning to end, even if it took me a couple days to watch it. Man, those guys, De Niro, Pacino, I didn't realize Pacino had never worked with Scorsese before.
Or Pesci.
It, I thought, no, Pesci did Casino.
No, Pacino and Pesci.
Right.
Together. Yeah, that's what I meant. Oh, together. Yeah, in the same
way. But, man, talk about these guys can act. They're so good. This is not De Niro doing comedy. This is locked in De Niro doing his thing. Pacino, for being almost 80 years old, is still absolutely amazing. The Scorsese's directing, man, there might not be a director working that just knows how to frame a shot and feel cinematic to you. And then in the small moments, to bring those characters into your living room and watch the film. And if you haven't taken the time to watch it, I highly recommend
it. Have you seen it, Matt?
I have not seen it yet. It's
dang.
Yeah, I even watched the little Netflix short, The Conversation, to add some insight to the film and listen to those guys talk. And you realize that, you know, Mark Scorsese's taken some flack, especially lately with his comments on the Marvel films, for being a grumpy old man. But when you watch that little conversation thing, you realize how much this guy appreciates film and loves making them. And I guess those guys, him and Robert De Niro, had gotten together probably about 10 years ago when the book came out, I Heard You Paint Houses, and he told Robert, we're going to make this film. And about 2 years ago, Robert was like, no, we're not going to make it. We're too old. And Martin's like, watch, we're going to make it. And sure enough, they made the film. Just a good movie, man. Yeah.
The fact a bunch of snot-nosed fanboys are attacking an old man for having an opinion is the epitome of first world problems.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know. Let the guy have his fucking opinion.
Yeah,
bunch of cocksuckers. No.
And if you know anything about the story about Jimmy Hoffa and whether he was actually killed by
Frank Sheeran
or he wasn't, they told the story that the book told, and they told it from Frank's perspective. He claims that he killed Hoffa, but that's okay. It still made for an interesting story. Maybe we'll never know the truth. It amazes to me how loyal those gangsters were. Man, they, no one talked. No one squealed. They stayed true to the end to each other. They took jail time. They took bullets for each other. There was a lot of loyalty in that, in a different time and era than we have now.
Yeah. Loyalty or death.
Yeah. And, which ultimately led to Hoffa's undoing, because he wasn't as loyal as the rest of them. He was also very arrogant. At least the movie portrayed him that way.
Mm-hmm. And hot-headed.
Yeah, and hot-headed.
Yeah.
And just a good film, man. And it's, someone asked me, is it worth my 3.5-hour investment? Absolutely, it's worth the time to sit down and watch it. And don't listen to people say you have to watch it once. City, if you want, watch it over a couple days. It's okay, too.
Yeah.
Because it is a long film. A lot of us work 8 to 12 hour days. If we have kids or school, it's hard to find 3.5 hours.
So, was the last hour of the movie really riveting?
Yeah. Well, I say the last hour.
Starting from the up party to Hoffa's scene.
Death, yeah. And then it slows down a little bit. But the epilogue is all necessary because it adds to the character of the film.
Its anti crime message.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but excellent, excellent movie. Highly recommend it. And, other than that, that's pretty much what I watched this week. I did, I watched some Christmas stuff, the Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I did download, because PlayStation has a big sale going on right now, and I downloaded the old computer game, Jedi Outcast.
Oh, yeah?
Man, shit's hard. Like, goddamn, these old computer games are hard as hell. Yeah. I keep dying a lot, but it's fun. I remember playing that on the computer back in the day.
Jedi Outcast.
Yeah, and, I don't know if Xbox One has a sale going on, too, because usually their sales kind of mimic each other.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I've been playing that some and getting frustrated at it.
Well, let me dial it back to The Irishman, because it feels like we're not justifying it enough.
No.
It's, what, did you like that little exchange between Pesci and Pacino?
Which one?
There was only one.
Oh, where he tells him...
Yeah, where Pesci's telling Pacino to calm down, and Pacino's like, I just want my union back.
Yeah.
And then Pesci's like, well, how do we make you understand that, you know... And then Pacino's like, understand, it's my, it's my union, that's what I want.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's not a shouting match at all. But,
no.
You know, it's
his
great.
His character, Russell, stays very...
What'd you think of Pesci's performance?
Well, that's the thing, it's so... Pesci's performance is so in tune with the character, but you also felt like here's a guy who's so in control of things.
Yeah.
But like you're waiting for him to kind of snap.
Yeah.
You know, like you know he's respected.
Yeah.
You know he's a badass dude, but yet he's so in control of everything.
He has a lot of power under.
Yeah. A lot of power and
very menacing.
Yeah. And the conversation that happens right after that when he's talking to Sheeran. And he tells him, he goes, you need to make him understand it is what it is.
Yeah.
Basically tell him, we are going to kill him if he doesn't listen.
Yeah.
And you can see the pain in De Niro's face.
Like, yeah, that's a really great scene.
Hoffa's his mentor. And he doesn't want to tell him. And he just like, okay, it is what it is. And he goes, and he knows he's not going to be able to convince him because he knows Hoffa's not going to change how he
is.
And he's ultimately going to go tell him, like, hey.
You know. And there's that dynamic that, you know, De Niro's daughter loved Hoffa more than, you know, Russell.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. She's always been cold towards Russell.
Even her own father.
Yeah. And, I mean, did you, you didn't have any problems with Anna Paquin's character having selfie lines, did you?
I read some stuff online saying, like, she only had three lines, and people said, you know, there weren't enough big women parts in the movie, but I didn't feel it did any disservice to the film. I thought it was fine. It didn't bother me. I was fine with it. I didn't feel it left anything on the floor.
I thought it was effective.
Yeah, I felt the same, especially at the end when he goes to the bank and he tries to make amends with his daughter. And I think that scene doesn't work if you don't have the other scenes in the movie. So I thought it was effective, too. You know?
Yeah.
But just a remarkable film, man. Scorsese is such a great director, and those guys are such great actors. So we need to cherish them while we have them. Because they're all in their 70s, you know, and then we don't know how much longer we'll have them. I know Scorsese's got like three. He's said on film that, hey, I'm turning these films out because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. And he wants to leave. I mean, he's already left the legacy, but he doesn't want to quit. Because he said his wife was like, oh, you should retire. He's like, yeah, when I retire, that's when I'm going to die. You know, so he's going to keep making films. He's got like three films on the table. He's going to come back and work with DiCaprio next about a murders of the Osage tribe in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be his next film. And it's going to start, and he's going to work with DiCaprio again.
Yeah.
He wanted to try to put DiCaprio in The Irishman, but I guess the schedules didn't work out, so they couldn't get him in the film.
Dustin Hoffman heard about the movie, he was a little jealous that he wasn't part of it. So.
And quite a film, man. Matt, you really need to find the time when you get a break to watch it. Watch an hour a day, you know. Hey, you binge watch TV shows in a day.
It's true. It's
a fine time to watch a movie. And
join the conversation.
It is rated R.
I'm just kind of sitting here like,
there's no nudity in it.
There's no nudity. It's mostly language. Language and violence. Even the violence isn't ultra-violent.
No.
The one scene where they shoot the one dude in the face is probably the worst thing in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, most of the violence happens really quick, so there's not a lot of blood or blood squirting out like in the John Wick films and things like that. You know, it's very quick gangster violence.
Yeah. So, matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah. But a good film, man, and I highly recommend people watch that. It did well. 17 million viewers the first 48 hours.
Yeah.
And that was with Netflix claims they watched at least 70% of the film.
Yeah. I thought Casino was the most violent of the gangster movies that Scorsese's done.
Even more violent than Departed?
I think so, because they have a guy's head in the vice.
Yeah, I guess so. That scene is pretty... Well, I don't know. Gangs of New York, man, might be his most violent film.
Yeah. Well,
but that scene in Casino, you're right.
And
that
then,
particular scene.
And the scene with the brother being killed with a baseball bat right in front of his brother. Yeah, that's pretty brutal, too.
But
it's more of a personal violence being committed.
Yeah, it's a different type of violence.
But it's so in your face about it, you know.
But, man, just good stuff, you know. What did you guys check out, watch this week?
Long.
I don't remember. No, I'm joking. I don't know.
Remember.
This is such a tough work week.
Yeah, it's going to get tougher
tough season.
And tougher.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember. Well, I checked out a bunch of opera clips of
I'm bored.
Wagner's The Ring. The Ring Cycle. So, you know.
Okay. When you said that, I thought he was going to be like, "Ah, you know, I watched porn." That's all I was waiting for to say.
No. That too, but no, it's just nothing really, you know.
You're feeling renaissance-y this week.
Oh, yeah. I've always been renaissance-y, though.
That's there the you thing. Go. Huzzah!
Huzzah.
Sophisticated.
I've always been sophisticated, baby. But other than that, nothing. Not a goddamn thing.
Slacked off this week.
I didn't really.
I feel like there was something else.
I watched my regular anime episodes, too, that they release weekly. But other than that, you know, that's all I had time for.
Yeah.
And porn.
Porn.
Matt, what did you watch before we talked this week's Mandalorian?
I watched Thunderball.
Porn.
No.
Thunderball, I'm sorry.
What?
You like some of the bad Bond flicks.
Dude.
It's not that bad.
Thunderball's not that bad.
Tom Jones sang the theme song for Thunderball.
It's not Man with a Golden Gun bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Christopher Lee in it, though.
Still, that's a bad movie.
Austin Powers.
I think Christopher Lee talked about that film. Like, he's like, man, I wish we could have remade that. Because even Lee has talked about that movie and how it was shot very quickly and the director wouldn't listen to any of the actors. Like, no, you're doing this wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what made The Spy Who Loved Me so, you know, they needed that film to be so successful because of how bad The Man with the Golden Gun was.
Christopher Lee was in that movie. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
In Spy Who Loved Me.
But yeah, this was the film that basically is the premise for every Austin Powers joke.
That redhead is hot.
Yeah, when she walks on the beach and she's got the white bikini on, they spoof that in The Spy Who Loved Me. The underwater car on the last one. But the chest hair from Sean Connery is what inspired Austin Powers' chest hair. And then all the themes.
Thunderball, though, the non-official one?
No, that's Never Say Never. Never Say Never Again. Oh. Yeah. So technically, the
producer... Still the same plot elements, though.
Yeah, the producer...
that's right, it's a remake of Thunderball.
Kevin McCarthy.
Kevin McCarthy came up with part of the story for Thunderball. And so they used it. They had to make him a producer.
And he owned the rights to Spectre.
And he owned the rights to Spectre, so that's why.
That's why they had to. Yeah.
It's an official, unofficial Bond film. It's part of the Bond story.
Yeah, but if you buy like the Bond Blu-ray sets, it's not in there.
Yeah.
No, they don't count it anymore.
But I say Sean Connery is Bond. Bond is Sean Connery.
Did you know that Octopussy and Never Say Never came out the same year?
Yeah.
Yes, they came out the same time.
And Octopussy won out with more of the box office.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a better story to me, too.
That's fair. They put that cheesy song at the beginning of Never Say Never Again.
I like that song, actually.
They made another version. The other version's better. Forget which singer it was, but the other singer sounds a whole lot better. I've been following this guy on YouTube that does the he's called Dutch Bond Fan. And so I do my own research. Even though we're not doing episodes, I like to stay informed and act as if I'm going to do an episode on it. And
you know that scene in Never Say Never where Bond was fighting the villain on that video game console?
Oh, yes.
Mass Effect, the video game spoofed that scene.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In Mass Effect 2 or 3, one of those two. But it was like your main character Shepard was going against some alien. They're both playing the game. And they're, you know, and one of them was going to get shocked, you know, all that stuff. But
and then I watched Goldfinger with Pussy Galore.
Yeah.
Goldfinger is arguably one of the top two or three Bond films.
You know, I'm in the minority where I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's got the most famous line, of course.
Yeah.
Do you really expect them to pay?
For some reason, to me, I like the You Only Live Twice. I like that one more.
Yeah?
See, out of the Connery, I like From Russia.
Is that the Tokyo one?
From Russia with Love is probably.
Huh.
The Tokyo one? Never Live Twice.
From Russia with Love might be like top two or three. Yeah. It might be. I do think Skyfall is the best Bond film made. I think it's really good.
I think Casino Royale, the adaptation from the TV series. Yeah,
Mads Mikkelsen is a really good villain.
Yeah, I loved him as the chef.
Yeah. I think Skyfall is just better because you get, for the first time in a long time, you get personal with Bond. I think that's what makes it better.
Yeah,
I think.
And the cinematography.
Yeah,
Casino Royale has the best Bond girl. I think Vesper.
Ava Green.
I think Vesper is the best. Oh,
yeah, Vesper possibly, but yeah.
Yeah. But You Only Live Twice, both of those Japanese actresses, they're both in the Godzilla movies, classic Godzilla movies.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. Yeah. I remember that.
It's awesome.
We were, I was showing my wife all the Bond girls, and I was like, Denise Richards is one of my favorite. I was like, she's top 10. And then she's like, top 10? She's like, the worst.
She's not very good in the film. But yeah. As far as prettiness, she's probably one of the prettiest girls ever. Been.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of list you're making. If you're like the hottest Bond girl or the best actress,
best actress is probably hard to top Ava Green. Yeah,
it's hard to top Ava Green. I think the girl from Skyfall is probably number two.
I do like Naomi Harris as Monica Vinnie though.
And then Pussy Galore is like number five, is what this guy listed as. And he makes a compelling argument. And she's very tough, strong Bond woman. Halle Berry wasn't on the list, but Tomorrow Never Dies, I can't,
Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
She was up there, even though it's an awkward sex scene.
I just always wanted her to do, I wanted her to have more action scenes in that film.
Yeah you thought she... And she did all the martial arts scenes herself.
Right, and she came off of doing those that Jackie... What was it? Jackie Chan film she did? That
no,
she
was in, or Crouching Tiger.
Yeah, Crouching Tiger. Yeah. And then, like, they didn't give her any action in the film very much anyway. And I was like, I wanted to
see her... Not that kind of action, at least.
Well, yeah, I wanted to see her do more ass-kicking, but... Oh, yeah.
It is what it is.
Yes, madam. You can check that out.
Yeah.
Classic Hong Kong film.
And then I watched The Other Guys, and that was it.
Is that the Will Ferrell one?
The Will Ferrell one, where they've got The Rock, and...
That movie was alright.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I do like that the funeral scene.
Oh, that's yeah.
One of the funniest scenes ever, where they're like shouting at each other, but in whispers.
Hey, stop! You're breaking up!
And they're fighting each other.
Yeah.
This is how we do it in the hood.
A soup kitchen. You know what happens when a bunch of bums do it in your car? It's called a soup kitchen.
So on that note,
yeah,
let's recap this week's episode of The Mandalorian. Now playing on your Disney Plus streaming service. Episode 6 hit this week. You guys didn't have time to watch it, right?
I did.
I did. All right. Yes.
Good deal. You better not be
slow. You reminded me. I almost forgot.
Oh, I saw that and downloaded this. The Mandalorian.
Oh, that's what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
man, the show continues to tick along at a high pace.
Two more episodes.
Only two episodes left. Next week's episode comes out on Wednesday before The Rise of Skywalker. And, man, this is another good episode. I saw some comments online earlier today, like, oh, this is the best one yet, blah, blah, blah. I didn't quite think that. I still like episode 3 where the Mando's flying a lot.
Yeah.
But this might be number 2. Some good actors in this. You know, Clancy Brown shows up, plays
Devonian.
The Devonian.
Yeah.
Bill Burr, of course, plays the other
sharpshooter.
The other sharpshooter.
And he's funny.
Twi'leks were kind of scary Medfield. In this.
Yeah, Twi'leks. They're freaky. Yeah,
because like in the cartoons and stuff, they're always like nice. And they're like,
yeah, they're like entertainers. They're
nice or slave dancers.
Yeah, they're kind of creepy in this. So anyway, in this episode, the Mando joins a group of mercenaries because he needs money again. And so he takes on a job from an old comrade of his, I guess, played by the fat dude that shows up in a lot of stuff. He was in Batman Begins.
Yeah. He was in Seven.
I never know that actor's name, but he always shows up at things in these character roles.
He always plays like the crooked person.
Yes,
in Batman Begins, he was the crooked cop.
Yes,
and then in Seven, he was the crooked FBI agent that would leak information. And now he plays another crooked guy. So like, hey, we need a fat, crooked cop guy.
Did you see the cameo at the end of
Dave Filoni?
Yeah,
making a cameo at the end. We got X-Wings in this fucking episode, which was cool. So they go in to rescue...
TIE Fighter.
They go in to rescue a prisoner and everything.
X-Wings!
And, and of course, they end up trying to double-cross the man.
ATSTs. Oh, sorry.
It was a Red Letter Media YouTube channel. Media. They were just making fun of Star Wars fans fanboying over vehicles.
Okay, then.
Well, all right.
I don't even know what to say. Where was I at? So the Mando goes in, they joins this group to rescue a prisoner, and of course things don't go as well as they hoped, as the other mercenaries try to double-cross him, because they have a history with the Mando. But does it affect the Mando? No, he just comes right back at him,
and that's
he
ends up
winning the day in the end, of course, and getting his money and leaving most of those bad people on the planet, and getting some revenge at the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way this episode played out overall, because like, it's kind of like we just talked a lot about James Bond. It almost felt like there's that certain tension this episode, but at the same time, you never felt like the Mando was really in danger.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to get out of it.
I've always felt there's definitely an uneasy tension throughout the whole
lead
up to the break-in.
They took a little break from Baby Yoda this episode. He kind of took a step back, which was good.
Yeah.
But he had a couple of really good moments in it, too.
Yeah, he did.
The scene at the end was hilarious, where he's trying to use the force of the bad droid. The droid explodes, and Baby Yoda's just like, oh, looks at his hand. That was great. Great comedy there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I like about this show, is the comedy continues to be understated, but just funny enough, but not silly.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he was an Imperial sharpshooter. That's not saying much. I wasn't a stormtrooper.
The jab at stormtroopers was good.
And then he's like, why won't you tape off your mask? Maybe you're a Gungan over there. Maybe you don't want to take off of your mask. And
yeah. That's a little racist on them, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? You're racist against the Gungans.
But, yeah, I liked it overall. So it was kind of weird seeing Clancy Brown show up in there, and he... Clancy, as he's gotten older, takes on a lot of more roles like that. He just shows up and stuff. You're like, oh, it's Clancy Brown, the Kurgan from Highlander.
I didn't realize he was so tall.
Yeah, he's a tall dude.
Yeah.
And
he's also Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Me money.
Is that him from
Yeah. Yes, that's Mr. Yeah. Krabs. That's him. Yes.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't fucking know that.
The Kurgan is Mr. Krabs.
He's so awesome.
Yeah, dude.
And when the coin rolls by, Mr. Krabs, like, hey, honey. He's catcalling a coin. That's wrong.
Yep.
He's so money loving.
What's funny is Clancy, you know, he plays these tough guys, and all, but he's like the nicest guy in the world. Like they say, when he does conventions and stuff, they say he's just super, super nice. And maybe Compalooza should try to get Clancy Brown one
day. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, and they did have him.
They had Clancy
SpongeBob.
Brown.
SpongeBob. When they had the SpongeBob panel.
Yeah.
They had Clancy Brown was at Compalooza?
He was.
I missed that. Must have not noticed. But your guys' thoughts on episode 6 of Mandalorian?
I liked it.
I liked it a lot. I think it's definitely at least a top 2 or 3 episode for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's only 6 episodes left, so I mean, or in the 2. Show so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of them have been really good. I haven't like disliked any of them. I see people's point on the one with what's her name in it, on the planet?
Like Gina Carano.
Gina Carano. I could see how people felt that episode was a, kind of a filler, a step back, but I still enjoyed the episode a lot.
Yeah.
With the Walker and everything. There has been an episode I haven't enjoyed on this show. I do like the fact this one was a little bit longer, because sometimes I feel like some of the short episodes I wanted more, and like this one I felt was just long enough. Seeing the X-Wings was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought it was cool with the way the droid flies in when they land on the prison ship. I was like, we haven't really seen flight like that in Star Wars. You know, usually it's very, he flies in or zooming or jumping around, he lands on the ship. I thought that was kind of cool. Got to see what the ship could do. It's kind of interesting that there's still a presence of the Rebellion and the Old Republic still around, you know, with the Republic prison ship and then the X-Wings. That's a little information they gave us in this post-Return of the Jedi world that we didn't really know. If you weren't paying attention, you might have missed it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the Rebellion's still kind of around. There's X-Wings, and the Old Republic still has a presence. So
yeah, the tracking beacon.
Yeah. There's 2 episodes left. You know, they're bringing the guy from Breaking Bad, Giancarlo. I don't want to fuck him.
Giancarlo.
Yeah. From Breaking Bad, who's such a great actor. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what he's going to play. I think he's appearing in Wednesday's episode. And I'm sure they're going to leave this on a cliffhanger. You know,
probably.
But season 2's already filming. I'm willing to bet we're not going to have to wait till next fall for season 2.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come a little bit quicker. Because after The Mandalorian's over, what is there on Disney Plus? You know?
A bunch of Marvel stuff that's in the works.
Yeah.
Did you see the publicity photos for WandaVision?
Yeah. It's like a 1950s sitcom or something.
Well, that's weird. If you ever read the Vision comic book written by Tom King about a couple years ago, it's almost like that suburbia vibe.
That are taking some...
But,
Wanda there was a press conference in Brazil, and they showed some shots from Falcon and Winter Soldier. I like the Falcon's... that's taken right from the comics. That's kind of that modern suit the Falcon's been wearing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. You know, and Winter Soldier, too. Kind of, really, both their suits looked like they took it from the recent run of comics. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, so Mandalorian. A couple episodes left. I'm going to be sad to see it go.
Yeah.
But it'll be back before we know it. And then soon we'll have Obi-Wan and Cassian Andor, which we have some news on that later. So let's get into today's feature film.
Yes.
I'm not enthused about that.
The Cassian show?
Yeah.
Hold your thoughts to the news.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
But, what movie were we doing? Oh, yeah.
Today's Train to Busan. Feature film,
Train to Busan, from 2016. 16, yeah. That's what I was saying. Korean zombie film from 2016 that kind of caused a splash when it came out.
In Korea?
Well, over there. It was one of the first films that made a... It was one of the first horror films that make $1 million over there. You think about that, $1 million. You know, in America, man, that's a few hours at the theater. So maybe it makes $1 million. But for there, that was the first movie of this kind to make that kind of money. And it went on to do like something like $26 million in Korea.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a film over there.
Yeah.
And it found a home in here in America as it got released here. Found a home on home video and the advent of streaming, of course, because Netflix has picked it up. Mm-hmm. And so it found an audience. Kind of in the midst of the craze, the zombie craze, and
ow.
Leg lock up,
Charlie horse.
Matt's having a Charlie horse piss show here.
Must be an alcohol effect. That seems to be the running theme this month.
I know, right? Everyone, that was so bad that one I had yesterday.
Sorry.
Did you stretch that? Yeah, okay. All right.
Just don't fall.
So while Matt's recovering from his groin injury.
It's a comedy of the show here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And,
Train to Busan. What was your first impression?
For a note, this is the first time we've done a film that all three of us haven't watched. So we tried something new, which technically we're doing that 2 weeks in a row because none of us have seen Rise of Skywalker yet. But anyway, more
that's going to be great.
Yeah. So, my first impression was that I'm trying to have an open mind watching this because I know it was a big buzz film that a lot of people liked it, but I just could not watch this and get past the fact that to me, it didn't feel like it broke anything new for me, any new ground. Maybe it's because we're doing this 6 weeks after doing 28 Days Later, which was such a groundbreaking masterpiece of a zombie film, that I just am watching this. And I didn't dislike the movie, but I just couldn't not compare it to other zombie films. I just felt like, what is the big deal about this?
I'm watching it.
But I also tried to put that aside and try to enjoy the film for what it was. I liked the fact that they used a lot of practical effects in this. They used the actors and they put makeup on them. They told them to twist their bodies and turn sideways and do stuff like that. And I did feel the tension of the film was very well done.
Yeah.
But we didn't even summarize it yet. You want to summarize it along?
Yeah. The daughter wants to see her mom on their birthday. So her father, they're both estranged parents. Father and daughter make this trip from Seoul.
It was in Seoul, yeah.
Yeah, to Busan, which is another city in South Korea. They take the train, and then the zombie invasion happens, and then they try to survive this terrible ordeal, this terrible tragedy. About
three-quarters of the bus is wiped out.
Yeah.
Or the train.
Yeah, three-quarters of the train is infected with zombies. And not only that, they're trying to find a safe haven. On the way to Busan, but the safe haven is gone, and try to survive their ordeal and they get separated in the middle of the movie between cars, and then they become united somehow.
That scene was great.
Yeah, and the towards the end of the movie. They reach Busan, but the train tracks are blocked, and more people die. A lot more major characters die, and
almost all of them.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, do I spoil it?
Yeah, it's been out long.
Yeah, it's out long enough. The father, who's one of the who is the main character, gets bitten, and then the daughter and the pregnant lady survives, and they almost get killed by the military. Yeah. You know. But the good thing the daughter sang her school recital song. Thought it was going to be like Night of the
Living Dead.
Yeah. And that what saved him was her singing the school recital song intended for her dad. And, man, that was an emotional gut.
That was at the end, man.
Yeah.
That little girl put on the best performance of
that all girl of was very convincing. Mm-hmm. You know, really good kid actor. But, they ended up making it to Busan, the girl and the pregnant chick.
Yeah.
So if that pregnant chick had been shot at the end, I would have been like,
oh my God,
this movie fucking sucks.
Right.
But thankfully she sang that song. It was like, oh, thank God. You know?
And that's my thing. I think the movie started out for me. I felt the beginning of the film was trying to borrow some from World War Z, where we know that, like, they showed news clips like something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they even alluded to the fact that her dad, who's some sort of fun marketer.
It's fun. He was taking stocks out
of. Right, but they alluded that he knew someone, like something was going on.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of weird. Like, they didn't really clear that up.
No.
Like, who's he talking to on the phone? Like, he knew something was going on. And I felt like the beginning, like, the film took a few minutes for me to, like, figure out where it was going with it. Like, I would have not done the news clips at the beginning. I would have just maybe, had the scene with his daughter. Okay, I'll take you to see your mom. Then just have it happen on the train. I just felt like the beginning was a little distracting. Like, they were trying to play up this background story. But then we get to the train, and then the zombie outbreak happens, of course. And from that point on, I think the movie's really good, the last hour.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first 30 minutes of the film just were like, okay, when is this going to... And it's not really so much a pacing issue. I just felt like the film couldn't find its footing, if that makes sense.
In the first part of the film. Act, yeah.
Yeah, and then once it gets going, it's going. And the train scenes are very... it is very intense because you have the zombie outbreak in a very confined space.
Yeah.
And they get out for a little bit when they stop at the first city, but then they all have to get back on the train because that city is under invasion.
Can I make a mention that that MVP character of the show is that big wrestler dude?
Is that the pregnant
wife? Dude.
Yeah.
Her husband?
He's like Thunder Lips, man. He's like a Korean dude, Thunder Lips.
Isn't he like the most badass?
He just kicks
ass. Fuck yeah, dude. He's like, punch him in the face. It's funny, though.
He keeps calling the father a jerk and asshole when he's kind of the asshole, really. That's the way he talked to him.
Well, I mean, understandably, he held a grudge for getting them locked out.
Right.
You know?
Right. Oh, I know, but still, it's like, okay, let it go, dude. You're alive.
That's one of the other layers to the show, this class warfare. At the beginning, you have the bum, and then they're like, hey, if you don't study, you're going to end up like him. Yeah. And she's like, my mom tells me only bad people say that, or something like that. And then you have the, that train station owner, and he's like...
I call him... President Douche.
Dude, he's like, he's President Douche for sure.
One of the worst characters.
He's the person that the father felt like he was being to everyone else. And I felt like there was like an emotional aspect to everyone. And there's like a lot of emotional ties between everyone in here, good or bad. Bad with that guy. He finds a way to ruin everything. Even the son and father, the baseball couple, the Romeo and Juliet couple.
Yeah.
And then he finds a way to kill the train operator. He's just really, really bad and thinks of himself, and in the end he dies. But that's that other element that I felt like I don't see in a whole lot of horror films. And it kind of had me, like, on edge. You feel vested in these people.
Yeah.
You feel vested in making sure that these, hoping that these people make it. And I was like, I felt like I was more involved, like, emotionally.
I got
turned
around.
Which I'm not in a horror movie. I want to see blood. I got
turned around on the bum.
Yeah.
I got turned around on the bum. I didn't like the bum at first, but I turned around on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping that he would die for a while. I was like, sacrifice him.
Right. Yeah,
he's crazy looking.
My first impression of the big wrestler dude, he was like, he's weird.
Yeah.
You know, but then you love that guy because of the actions he does, you know.
Well, and that is probably the one thing that I said maybe it didn't change anything about the zombie genre, but maybe it did because, like, in World War Z, it's run, 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 survive, survive, survive.
Yeah.
Where in this, they're in this tight spot that... In order to survive, they're going to have to take these things on.
Yeah.
So they get their guts up, they find whatever weapons they have, and they go through these train cars, and they take them on mano a mano, fighting zombies. And these zombies were a little easier, let's be honest, they were a little easier to kill than the zombies in World War Z, or even the Walking Dead TV show, because they could break their necks, they were slamming them down and knocking them out. I didn't know zombies could get knocked out unconscious, but it happens a lot in this film.
Yeah.
You know, so they did change up some of that a little bit.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that these zombies were, running. Yeah. One thing 28 Days Later did was change the zombie genre. We never had running fast zombies until that film. And now we get it, and it makes zombies so much scarier. Like, World War Z zombies are frightening. The zombies in this are frightening because they run at you full speed with this rage about them that they're going to fuck you up if you don't get out of the way. You know, and I do like that part of it, and especially in a confined place like a train. Like, where do you go if these things are running at you?
Yeah.
You know?
Although I do have some nitpicks that I have against the film. It's like, okay, you got the zombies trapped and blocked. Don't fucking stare at them. Fucking run.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, okay, stop looking pretty. Fucking run. You know? You have it blocked off. Run. There's like at least a dozen moments like that. It's like, don't just stand there. Yeah. Run. You know?
That's typical horror film stuff.
Is it really? Is that what horror movies are always like?
Yeah. I mean, you have the girl that's like, what's this noise?
Run!
And then you're like, don't find out what the noise is. Get the hell out of there. Yeah. Call the cops. Go to your neighbor's house. People doing dumb stuff. That's a horror movie cliche.
Yeah. But it's not that bad in this, I don't think.
It's just you've got pauses. A couple of those
for
moments.
Dramatic purposes,
a lot of pauses. Yeah. This is a lot of pauses. Don't fucking pause. Run.
Right.
I keep screaming at the TV. My roommate's like, it's typical of horror movies long. That's what it is. Oh, tells you how often I watch horror movies, you know? I hate dramatic pauses.
And then there's like the twist about three quarters away through the film where the zombies, these zombies can't see in the dark most zombies. They played off noise. Once the humans are turned to zombies, it does something to their eyesight that... they can see during the day, but they're not nocturnal, which is kind of a little bit of a twist. Yeah. I guess that is a twist of the zombie genre. Because most zombies
think it's logical.
Dark, yeah.
They and only attack what they can see or hear.
Yeah, so that was kind of, that allowed them to get through the train cars a little bit unscathed there when they're trying to rescue his daughter and everybody towards the middle part of the film.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and
the father and the daughter, man, it's like this estranged relationship between him and his wife.
Right.
And just him and his, and it, you know, him stepping up and being the father his daughter needed him to be the whole time. I mean, he was striking out in the first scene. You know, he bought her a Wii, and she already had a Wii. Doesn't know what she has. Is not spending any time with her. He's busy with his work. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
recital.
His arc in the movie was really good, and the daughter's was even better.
Yeah.
And she was very good for a child actress. I thought she did a really good job in the film. Mm-hmm. You felt the emotion in her face, and you felt what she was feeling throughout the film, I thought. She did a really good job, and she looked like my little sister. But no, she did a really good job. Because sometimes you see actors, the child actors especially, in these kind of films, especially something like this where they really have to play with emotion, and they don't do a very good job. But she did a really good job in the movie, I thought. And I did think that it was well acted for a foreign film. Because sometimes, you know, these films with mass ensembles like this, over the years, you know, in long, you know this, that foreign language films sometimes have taken some flack for not hiring as good actors. But over the years, they're getting better. We're getting better films from foreign countries where they hired better actors. And especially for a horror film, they took the time to make sure they hired good people in these roles. And like you said, it made you want to feel for them. You wanted them to get safe at the end, despite all of them, except for two, basically.
Yeah.
Turning into zombies or dying.
And the sequel was announced this
week, wasn't it? Yeah, I guess he's working on a sequel to it.
Yeah.
Did you see there was a prequel?
Yeah, an animated prequel.
Soul?
A prequel?
Yeah,
or it's an animated short. It's like 15 minutes long.
It started.
Yeah. And the only other two characters that kind of bugged me, like, I didn't really see a full purpose for the grandma character and her friend.
That's her sister.
It was her sister? Yeah, I guess I missed it was her sister. It's just sort of like they were almost there. They added a little emotional weight to the daughter, but really it was kind of added time.
They're just a plot device.
Yeah, it was just a plot device.
The other sister was more altruistic.
Yeah.
And the other one was like, you know, I was like, you're so nice.
You did have one sister open the door. So
that's what I'm talking about.
In.
She's like, because she saw the worst of humanity
in
that whole time.
And then the baseball players who end up having to fight his own team that turned into zombies, and he froze up a little bit.
So. Yeah, and I was warming up to the baseball kids, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess the girl, his girlfriend, I guess she was a popular K-pop singer from Korea.
Oh, really?
And this was like one of the first movie roles she did.
Yeah.
So they put her in there to appeal to audiences over in Korea, I believe.
Hmm.
And so, yeah. What is K-pop exactly? It's like just
Korean pop.
Is that what
it's like J-pop, you know?
Okay.
Like that's J-pop.
Popular over there, huh?
Like J-pop. Well, yeah.
Like Puffy Ami Uni?
Fucking no idea.
Yeah, you do.
K-pop is popular in Korea.
It's like that damn gummy bear song the kids like.
No, that's Crazy Frog.
That's the weirdest comment you ever made. well, where else would it be?
I'm not cool anymore, man. I don't know what's cool anymore.
No, the point is, like...
Well, I didn't know it actually literally stood for, like, Korea. I thought maybe it was, like, a term or something.
No, I'm just saying,
like
yeah.
Kids pop?
Or, like, millennials. Kids pop? That's a term. I thought maybe it was, like, a term, you know, or kids pop or something. Yeah. I really didn't know. I mean, I'm out of touch, guys. I'm getting old.
K-pop.
Damn it. I gotta know this shit. I got kids, yo.
Gungan style, you know.
That
crossover.
So, as far as, like, letter grades... I was looking, IMDb gives this thing a solid C, a 75. And Tomato Meter is a little bit more hyped on this.
75 a C?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a C.
Tomato Meter sucks.
Tomato Meter's got it at 93%. So
I give it a B.
They give it an A.
I give it a B because of the emotional.
I'd say it's at least a B plus. You'd probably give me that a B plus.
I'm like a B minus on this.
B minus?
I just think that it's a good watch, but I don't think I'd ever watch it again. I'd probably go watch 28.
One and done.
I'd go watch Dawn of the Dead or 28 Laters.
Yeah.
28 Days Later. I think there's just better World War Z. Even I think there's better zombie films than this.
This is probably a one watch for me.
I've watched World War Z 3 or 4 times. I like it. I think it's really good.
You could tell there's some Photoshop effects, you know, in some of the shots too.
Yeah,
but I mean, technical. I mean, they did what they did.
Right, and they probably. I didn't look what the budget was, but I would imagine it's much lower than an American film. Mm-hmm. You know, being a Korean production.
You see, America wants to make a remake of this.
Well, because America wants to remake everything foreign language films do. They've been talking doing a remake of John Woo's The Killer for years.
Yeah,
they're talking about a remake. They were talking about a remake of The Raid with the Hemsworth brothers. Really? I don't think Chris Hemsworth knows any martial arts. It's like, come on, you can't do that.
It's like, you know, give him a hammer to throw around.
It's because American directors don't have any original ideas.
Nope.
Yeah. You know, well, maybe unless you're Christopher Nolan, he might be the only one that's still doing original stuff.
He's not American though.
Nolan's not American.
He's English.
English.
I guess there are no American directors doing original. And Edgar Wright's English too, isn't he?
He's in Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah, you're right. Mark Webb is English, isn't he?
He might be.
Yeah.
And, oh, well. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, I give it a B.
Yeah.
Not a B+. We're a little
all over the place on this ratings compared to some films.
I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't hate the movie.
It had some really good.
I'm glad I watched it. You know, I'm glad we chose it.
There are some characters I really enjoyed, and that's what saved it for me. The plottings, the characters became cool. The emotional gut punches here and there, you know? So,
And, you know, if they do the sequel, I'll watch the sequel.
I think I kind of like this more than The Host.
And see, he directed The Host. I don't remember. I know I watched The Host, I just don't remember.
I didn't like The Host because it was way too melodramatic for my tastes.
Yeah.
I mean, the daughter dies in that movie, too. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I have to rewatch it. Don't kill the kid. I saw it, like, right when it came out video. It was back, 10 years ago, so it's been a while since I've seen it. So, I don't remember enough that stayed with me, so
Yeah.
So it must not held up that well. Have you seen Snowpiercer?
Not yet.
Which is from the same kind of genre of filmmakers, you know, and the stuff, and it's pretty good, too. I think I misspoke last week's episode. I said it was the same director, but it's not. It's a different director. Mm-hmm. It's no picture. Yeah. But so yeah, Train to Busan. Watch it on Netflix now if you haven't seen it.
Yep. Highly recommend it.
So let's get to some news. We got new trailers. We got a Wonder Woman 84
finally
trailer.
Finally.
She rides fucking lightning bolts. that was enough right there. Okay, I'm in the theater.
Yeah.
She's swinging from lightning bolts. I don't care what else happens in the fucking movie. She's swinging from lightning bolts.
And I didn't think... Just when you think you've seen everything in superhero movies, then you see that, it's like, wow.
Yeah. That had me right there. They could have shown 10 seconds of her riding lightning bolts. I'm in the theater. I mean, I was like, that is cool.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
And man, Patty Jenkins is just... She's just one of those directors that looks like she gets it, man. She made a great first film. And this one looks to be off to a good start with the trailer.
Yeah. I'm crossing my fingers that Kristen Wiig's character will turn full cheetah. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to cheat with her wearing like a leopard skin outfit, like a leopard skin jacket, and that's cheetah. It's like, no, I want animal woman cheetah.
And it's interesting, you know? Pedro Pascal, who plays Mandalorian, is playing Maxwell Lord in it.
Yeah.
And someone texted me going, well, who's the bad guy in this? And, you know, because general audiences don't know who Maxwell Lord is.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you just have to find out, you know, and who it is in the film.
Yeah.
And so that'll be, I think it'll be good. You saw the trailer, right, Matt?
Yes.
That's it? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
She looks like Goldar at the end.
Well, with the golden armor and all that. Yeah, that was cool.
But I like it. I like it.
She is so pretty. Even in the trailers, like when she comes out in the white dress, there's just this, like, there's a sexiness about her, but it's not like in a sexual way.
Yeah.
It's just like you know she's a badass. Gal Gadot pulls it off very well. And I think that was important to the character of Wonder Woman, to have a female that is sexy but strong and respected too.
Yeah. I kind of got a strong hint that they're reversing the roles in this, where Steve is the fish out of water.
Yeah.
And Diana is the one that's mentoring him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be Hades.
To see how they bring him back.
Hades has to be the businessman. I mean, he owns the underworld, brings him back from the dead.
I think Maxwell Lord might have something to do with it. He was standing in the middle of some kind of power ring. So, and he was holding some kind of crystal.
I like the new suit. Looks a little more
yeah
modern Wonder Woman.
If you read that Kingdom Come graphics.
Yeah, it looks like from that.
That's from that, yeah.
So that's cool. So Wonder Woman 84 comes out in June.
Yep.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
We also got the first trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife this week. And I know Long, you don't like it that much.
Mm.
I watched it a couple times. It's grown on me.
Yeah.
I
gave away the whole damn movie
already. Well, I know they're trying to save...
Yeah, I mean, the big parts.
I know they're trying to save the original cast, but I think if you're marketing this film, I feel like you should show at least one of them.
It's fucking Sony.
You know, because...
You can hear Bill Murray.
Well, you can hear him, but that's just... But it's not anything new. He's quoting the original film. There's no new dialogue there, you know? And I just feel like that the general audiences that don't follow the internet like we do or listen to podcasts don't realize that... Bill Murray and them are coming back, and the biggest problem with the girl one is like no one wanted to see it because the originals weren't in it, even though they were.
And the marketing was bad in that too.
And I just feel like that this one you should market it with the original cast because that's Sony. What people want to see. You know, I joked about the Ecto-1 being CGI. Well, it bothered me. You can't hire a stunt driver. You know, there's that scene where the Ecto-1 is in the field is clearly CGI. But then when it's coming around the corner of the buildings, that's a real Ecto-1. You can tell the difference just by watching the trailer. And I'm like, come on now. You know? And so, I don't know. We'll see.
It's Sony. They don't know how to make trailers.
My son's excited for it.
They don't know how to market. They don't.
I'm excited for it.
I mean, it does look better than the female one. I'll give it that.
And it looks like fun.
You remember the... Yeah. It's so boneheaded. Like, the marketing for the female one was like...
Slapstick comedy.
No. It's like, what was that? You know, who are you going to call, right? That's the famous line. But in this one, it's like, what was it? Are you ready to answer the call? Yeah. Or what was it? Something dumb.
Like that.
And then it's like, instead of like just showing the movie as is, marketing decides to go in this whole media war about sexism and all that stuff. You know, it's like, you guys, just sell the movie. Don't get involved in the whole, you know, politics of it, you know? And then this one, they spoiled half the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I think another thing, too, is, like, the kid from Stranger Things keeps showing up in all these 80s-type films. And it's like, so people keep comparing to Stranger Things, you know, Finn Woodford or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. Mike. The guy plays Mike.
And it is a little, I can see how it's a little distracting. You know, there's the kid from Stranger Things showing up in another 80s property.
And that little girl is supposed to be Spangler's.
Yeah, it's Egon's granddaughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which I did like that aspect.
I like that.
You know, you're paying tribute to Egon and Harold Ramis who passed away. And so I did like that. That was cool.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. Comes out next year.
And Reitman is directing it.
Well, his son.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The junior Reitman.
So we'll see how it turns out.
He's more artsy than his father.
Yeah. He did Juno.
Yep, Juno.
So Marvel TV is officially folded finally, which we kind of saw this coming with the Netflix shows leaving, Disney Plus taking over everything and doing all these Disney Plus shows. And they're basically, it's just going to be part of the MCU. So all the Falcon and shows and WandaVision are just all going to be under the MCU banner. There's just no official Marvel television division anymore.
Yeah.
They're just all being under the watchful eye of Kevin Feige. And Jeff Loeb, I guess, who was in charge of Marvel television, is going to take on a new role under Kevin Feige.
Jeff Loeb's a talented writer.
So he's going to work with Feige to work on these television shows to continue them. So it's just folded as an entity, but I guess it still exists. It's just part of the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of rumors coming around that, like, Marvel's trying really hard to make sure they can retain the rights to continue Daredevil and all that stuff. That, like, they really want to put Daredevil in the next Spider-Man film. So we'll see. I would love to see Charlie Cox come back as Daredevil.
That would be nice.
So we'll see.
I want to see Hellcat make an appearance in the new She-Hulk series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the recent She-Hulk's miniseries had Hellcat, and she's like one of the funniest characters in there. And she's not so funny in the Jessica Jones one.
Oh, a bit of a tangent. Speaking of, you know, I watched the first episode of the Silver Surfer animated series from the late 90s.
Yeah.
I don't remember that ever being on, but it's actually pretty well written.
Yeah.
Like, animated-wise,
wasn't Thanos in it?
Well, the first episode had Galactus in it.
I don't know
if Thanos appears in it, but it's only like 10 episodes. It only lasted one season, but I'm like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So I might watch all 10, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Shazam 2 has a release date. As Warner Brothers announced a bunch of release dates. Shazam 2 in April of 2022. Aquaman later that year. They announced that they're going to make a Flash movie for that same summer, too. I'll believe that one when I see it.
Any Green Lantern?
Yeah, Green Lantern.
That would be stacked.
Black Adam at Christmas of 2021. Another one I'll believe it when I actually see it. Out of all the films they announced, I only believe that Suicide Squad, Batman, and Shazam will actually happen right now. And Aquaman. Aquaman will happen. There was a reason there was a gap between the Aquaman films. I remember reading it somewhere. Mm-hmm. I think James Wan was contractually obliged to do another Conjuring film. So I think he had to do that before he could work on Aquaman 2.
Yeah.
And more DC stuff coming. But I like the fact that they've kind of separated themselves from the shared universe. And they're just loosely shared. I think it's the right idea.
Yeah. Caught a glimpse of Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, the aircraft carrier?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Kong's about the same size as Godzilla. Yeah. And they're fighting atop an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was showing a brief clip at the conference in Brazil. So, yeah, it looked kind of cool. And you got to wait till November long.
Got to wait.
I'm sorry. So, the Cassian Andor Marvel or Disney Plus series is going to go for the cameras, looks like, in June.
Mm.
And, of course, Diego Luna is going to return to play Cassian. I was thinking about this. I wasn't super excited for it either. But watching The Mandalorian, if they do this show... very similar to the opening scene of Rogue One where it's kind of underground. He's getting information from the stormtrooper and all that. It could work if you do that. Do a Cassian series where he's like a scoundrel, kind of like a Han Solo type. You know, it could be fun.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just like, I just know how it ends.
Yeah, well, true.
You know?
But you'll still watch it because it's Star Wars.
Heck yeah.
We'll see.
And,
but did you mention in your notes Dr. Aphra has been announced?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, and if you read the Darth Vader comic book series from Marvel...
Well, I know she appears in it, yeah.
She's a major character in it. She does most of the legwork for Vader in it. And then she actually earned her own comic book series.
Right.
So it's Dr. Aphra is kind of a...
Dr. Aphra.
So are they going to do a Disney
Plus show? She's kind of an Indiana Jones Star Wars character. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Disney Plus is doing it.
Huh.
I'm more excited for that than Cassian Andor.
Cool. So they and Warner Brothers, along with their DC announcement, said that The Matrix 4 is coming out May 21st, 2021. But guess what else comes out that day? John Wick 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm willing to bet that one of those move.
Yeah.
Because Keanu Reeves himself is not going to let both of his major films come out the same day.
There's three movies. There's a third Keanu Reeves movie releasing on that day, too. Don't remember what it is. But there is a third one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So one of them's going to move.
Yeah. So people are calling it Keanu Reeves Day.
It's like, I want to see Matrix 4 and John Wick 4, and I don't want to have to decide what to go see.
Yeah.
You know, so
I could have sworn there's a third Reeves movie in that, too.
So, we'll see which one moves. I don't know which. I bet The Matrix.
I don't know.
How's that feeling?
It's definitely going to be a Keanu Reeves movie that moves, though. That's for sure.
Really? How'd you figure that one out?
Science.
That's pretty fucking smart. Well, that's all the news I got. You said you had something?
Yep. HBO is developing a TV series based on the Griswolds. They're going to take...
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, they're going to take Randy.
I said it right now, because I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to take Randy, who played the child in the 1989 Christmas Vacation movie, and they're going to call it the Griswolds, where he's the dad, and, you know, Chevy Chase is involved.
Is he going to be involved? Yeah. How much, though?
I don't know.
Do people want him involved? That's the question.
Yeah, he's become kind of... You know, he doesn't get a lot of roles anymore because he's kind of become a grumpy old man.
Not kind of.
Yeah.
He's a grade A asshole.
Yeah.
He's worse than Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Damn.
I wonder if he'll actually... How much he'll be involved in.
You know?
Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what becomes of it. Could just be one like season.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
At this point, I think you'd have to release it for November.
I mean, don't you already have that show on Fox, which is essentially... The Griswolds, the Goldbergs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it practically is.
Basically.
It's all those 80s shows all into one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. We'll see. Well, let's preview next week's film. We are going to do a theatrically released film for the first time since Avengers Endgame. You know, sometimes movies that come out, they're just so big, they deserve their own episode of the show.
That's right.
And there's nothing bigger than the show than the movie series that is a huge influence on all of us. And, of course, next week in theaters... Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker hits theaters.
It's an instinct. A feeling. The Force brought us together. together. We're not alone. Good people will fight if we lead them.
People keep telling me they know me. No one does.
But I do.
Long have I waited. And now, you're coming together. Is your undoing.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir. At my friends.
Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny.
So we are seeing this film Thursday night, 6 o'clock.
Together.
I wasn't going to, you know, you made that sound like a bro date. You know.
It is a bro date, bro.
Well.
It is a bro date.
It's a bro date.
Which is the way you said together.
Bro-sif.
But I am excited. I'm a little sad to see the saga coming to an end for now. Because never say never that they won't bring back Rey and Finn and all these characters later on. Even though... they're talking all the good stuff in press. Oh, we're not doing it anymore.
Yeah. They're just saying that to raise we'll money. See. They're just trying to get a bigger
Star
pay
Wars
cut.
Isn't going
to
stop. Disney's going to keep making these films. It might be the last we see of the Skywalkers, but I don't know if it'll be the last we see of Rey and Finn and all those characters.
Yeah.
So
we're definitely going to have to talk about the rest of the installments.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I mean, we'll definitely talk about the new trilogy for sure to lead up to Rise. How it concludes, all the loose ends and all the threads.
So a big, supersized Star Wars episode next week.
We may not even do Download This.
The Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. Well, let's have The Mandalorian to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's going to be a Star Wars filled.
I know episode. I won't have time next week for any other form of entertainment, you know.
Well, you have this weekend. Watch something. I challenge you.
All right.
Boom. I challenge you.
I think I have a game in mind. But I'll let y'all know next week.
But so that's next week on the episode Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9.
Star Wars. Talking about Star Wars. Bill Murray.
Nice.
Till then, go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Join our Patreon, all that good stuff, and throw us some money if you want.
Yes.
We have a donation button there too. If you don't want to join Patreon, if you just want to give us $10, there's a button there to donate. Cool with money. That.
Please, sir. Can I have some more?
Some more.
I know we sound like a broken record, but it really does help. We do appreciate it. We've already gotten the first round of funds in the account, so we can hopefully get some more stickers printed up and some other cool stuff for you people, and it should be good times.
I agree. So,
until then, thank you as always for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Have a fantastic week. Get your Christmas shopping done. Go see Star Wars and join us back here next week when we talk The Rise of Skywalker. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long. This Inquisitor.
he forgot what he called himself.
Yeah.
The Inquisitor.
No one expects an Inquisition.
So until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Do it.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zapsik from the same. And you're listening to...
Rebel Radio.
This is James O'Barr on Rebel Radio. Thanks for listening.